Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
Technical issues in the struggle for CISU supremacy. I can't hear anything from that side except Carolyn.
We're going to win.
There's no trots, no crib sheets. If our panelists want to know the answers, they'll have to be resourceful.
Is this written on the box or on her underwear or where?
I have no idea. There's really no secret to success in this game. Just showing up is half the battle.
I don't have any idea, although I always have an opinion.
Show up for CISU next.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. A flight from Hong Kong to Moscow is getting a lot of attention today. The plane is believed to be carrying the man wanted by the U.S. for leaking secrets about the National Security Agency. NPR's Susan Armitage is in Moscow.
A Russian news agency says Edward Snowden, the NSA contractor charged with espionage, has arrived in Moscow. The Russian news agency Interfax is reporting that Snowden's plane landed just after 5 p.m. Moscow time. Another Russian news agency, ITAR-TASS, reported Snowden will fly to Cuba Monday before traveling onward to Venezuela, citing an unidentified official from the Russian airline Aeroflot. For NPR News, I'm Susan Armitage in Moscow.
Authorities in Hong Kong say they allowed Snowden to leave because the extradition request from the Obama administration did not fully comply with Hong Kong law. A statement contends Hong Kong had no legal basis to stop Snowden from leaving. The Justice Department has also released a statement about Snowden, saying it remains in contact with officials in Hong Kong and will pursue law enforcement cooperation with other countries where Snowden may attempt to travel. Despite windy conditions, crews in Arizona are making progress on a wildfire that's consumed nearly 7,000 acres of wilderness. But as Mark Miranda, member station KJZZ, reports, officials hope to have the fire contained later this week.
There are still more than 770 firefighters battling the so-called Dozy Fire, burning in north-central Arizona, and hundreds of people remain evacuated. Crews are using water tankers, bulldozers, and helicopters to battle a fire from the ground and from the air. And we're able to make progress toward containment, despite 25-mile-per-hour winds and single-digit humidity readings. Officials suspect that the Dozy Fire is human-caused and will continue to investigate. Dry weather across much of the West has created dangerous conditions for wildfire, and many of the national forests are on high alert. The price tag for fighting the Dozy Fire alone is nearing $4.4 million. For NPR News, I'm Mark Moran in Phoenix.
Moving on to Colorado, the tourist town of South Fork appears to be holding its own against a wildfire. Officials say they are optimistic about protecting the town despite the fire's rapid expansion. They estimated its size at about 100 square miles last night. Rachel Davey is among the evacuees from South Fork. She, too, appears confident that crews will be able to keep the fire away from town.
Town is going to be fine. They're not going to let that town go. They won't.
Davey spoke to KMGH-TV. The fire prompted hundreds to flee the region, and officials say it could be days before people are allowed back. A state of emergency is in effect in Malaysia. Authorities in a southern district of the country are warning people to remain indoors because of pollution levels blamed on forest fires. The haze is also affecting Singapore, but officials say air quality there has improved. You're listening to NPR News from Washington. In Turkey, police used water cannons to disperse the first mass gathering in Istanbul's Taksim Square nearly a week. NPR's Peter Kenyon reports that demonstrators brought flowers in memory of those killed in more than 3 weeks of protests.
Thousands of protesters came to Taksim to remember the four fatalities from the anti-government protests. Riot police, backed by water cannons, dispersed the crowd, and police chased scattered demonstrators down adjacent streets. Separately, an Ankara court ordered the detention of 22 protesters, bringing the total number of those arrested in the capital to more than 50. Nearly 70 protesters faced charges in Istanbul. Speaking to a rally of government supporters in a city near the Black Sea, Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan said the same plot against Turkey was now being repeated in Brazil. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Istanbul.
The Chicago Blackhawks now have a 3-2 lead in hockey's best-of-7 Stanley Cup Finals. The Blackhawks beat the Boston Bruins 3-1 in Chicago last night. The win puts Chicago within one victory of the championship. Blackhawks defenseman Duncan Keith says his team still has work to do.
It's exciting, the opportunity, but we know that nothing's done yet, and you know, it's going to take our best effort to win this thing, and you know, we know Boston, they battle right to the end, and they're you know, it's going to be tough.
The Stanley Cup Finals are moving to Boston for Game 6 tomorrow. Boston's coach says the Bruins' goal is to create a Game 7 and keep the Blackhawks from claiming their second championship in 4 years. I'm Joel Snyder, NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from Pimsleur Language Programs, celebrating 50 years and offering audio courses in 50 languages for download. Available at pimsleur.com.
Welcome to Says You, a game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy.
Support for Says You in Seattle comes from the good folks at KUOW-FM and the Fairmont Olympic Hotel, on the National Register of Historic Places and on the web at fairmont.com/Seattle. And the Puget Sound Express, whose annual Christmas cruise sails from Port Townsend to Seattle this December 23rd. Educational programs, whale watching, things to know, on the web at PugetSoundExpress.com.
Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Schur.
Thank you. Thank you. From the stage at Town Hall Seattle in Seattle, Washington, welcome to Says You, a simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. There's only one word to describe him, and I can't imagine what that word would be. Tony Khan. There's much I could say of her beauty and charm, but her husband is at her side, Garland Waller. And there's much more in his story to be written. And remember, it's only a first draft. Mr. Barry Nolan.
Garland and I are married, and this is our favorite place to come because one of the things we really like is coffee. And every place we go, there's a nice coffee shop on every corner. And we can sit down and we get so much work done, we just don't get very much sleep.
Hey, man, slow down.
I don't know.
It's also the only city, I think, in the United States this time of year where a person from Boston can come and look like he's tan.
Well, I guess we've just about insulted everyone we need to insult now. That's good. Who's the leader today?
That jewel in the crown.
Garland will be the captain. Oh, we got an ooh already. What do you know?
Ooh.
Garland will be the captain. To my left, team two, her irrepressible humor and energy make her someone you just can't resist. Carolyn Fay Fox. Hey. Her steadfast devotion to beauty and truth is just never going to get her elected. Paula Lyons. And if Paula is an irresistible force of nature, then he's the immovable object of love, Mr. Arnie Raceman. All right, who's stepping up?
The immovable object of love.
He's been called a lot worse, so it's okay.
Correct answers are worth 10 points, or whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate. We always advise new listeners to grab a pen and paper. Let's begin. The English language is shortly to contain over 1 million words, with on the average a dozen or so added every single day. Thus, this 21st century round of addenda, words ever so late to the language. Please give me the definition of the following new words. Carolyn, meat space. M-E-A-T-S-P-A-C-E. Meat space.
You're kidding, right?
You just asked for it.
Meat space?
Right. Yep.
Meat space.
Right. Listen, does anyone on the team have any idea before
it's
we go?
It's the separations between songs by Meatloaf. I don't know.
Meat space, would it be the place on the plate where meat no longer is? Because
actually, in a way, but I don't want to lead you that way.
All right. Now, does this have to do with meat that people eat?
No, it does not,
It
actually.
Does not. All right. Does it have to do with...
you're going to love this when you hear this.
With seeing people as meat, sort of a...
Yes, it does. It has something to do with that.
So is this like one of those really speed dating sites, you know? It's the meat place. The meat place.
You know, I'm giving
the meat space. It's a little table where you do the speed dating.
It definitely has a lot to do with the cyber existence in which we now find ourselves. So,
all right, it's a real place, in other words, where people really exist, as opposed to the cloud or internet space.
There we go.
That's exactly right. 10 points. I gave you a little hint, but we'll be generous. 10 points. It's the physical.
If you're not the cloud, you're meat. Is that what it comes?
It's
down
exactly
to?
Right. It's the physical world as opposed to the virtual
right.
or cyber.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, that's meat space.
Meat and bricks.
And it's soon to be in the dictionary.
So
come
down to it. Yeah.
Try this one, Tony. What might be meant by lookism?
I'm sorry?
Lookism.
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 Lookism. It's that snap of the neck that happens when you see something you don't like.
No. You and Garland benefit from it all the time.
What could I possibly have in common with Garland? I'm not married to you. I'm not attractive. I have no grace. Garland, help me. Lookism. Lookism.
You could run for office.
Attitude? Does it have anything to do with appearance?
It has everything to do with it. Basically, good-looking people get better jobs quicker.
Barry.
Well, you know, he's exactly right. That's exactly
lookism,
right. Lookism.
So, what I'd like to know is, when does it click in? When does it start to work for you?
Right. It is discrimination based on appearance. Is
no
lookism.
Kidding.
Yep,
no
good.
Kidding.
So that's what that is. This is probably my favorite one of the day, Arnie. What might be meant by earworm?
E-A-R-W-O-R-M,
earworm.
This is a song that gets stuck in your head.
Head, yes.
I don't know how she knew it.
Oh, great.
But she's exactly
great.
Right. That's exactly it. How did you know that?
I've had them before.
Yeah, well... It's that song that keeps repeating over and over in your head. You can't get rid of it. That's an earworm. Try this one, Garland. What might be meant by blame storming?
Who?
Blame?
Blame storming.
B-L-A-M-E?
B-L-A-M-E-S-T-O-R-M-I-N-G.
Well, it has to do with mothers. Being super ticked off.
I hope not.
The idea of let's have a quick discussion of who we're going to blame for this colossal screw-up.
What a great idea.
You know, I could have maybe said it better, but I don't think so. That's exactly right. That's what it is.
Very good, man.
Boy, they're up to date, aren't they, here? It's a method of collectively finding out who's to blame and for a mistake that no one's willing to own. Often occurs at work among colleagues. Yes, that's probably true. Try this one, Paula. What might be meant by flexitarian?
Oh.
F-L-E-X-A-T-A-R-I-A-N. Flexitarian.
So this is not just a very flexible person?
No. It's neither a carnivore nor a vegetarian, but someone who goes back and forth and to
eats
and fro
bands.
And eats and bends his or her diet to accommodate whatever trends come along or whatever people are eating around him or her.
You know, I don't know where she hears all these things, but you're exactly right.
Can you know? Did you notice that she's the youngest up here?
I get that, yes.
That could be it.
Right.
And finally, Barry, what might be meant by glamping? G-L-A-M-P-I-N-G, glamping.
Glamping?
Glamping.
Glamping with glamour. Glamping. That the root of that is glamour?
That's one of them, yes.
And you are glamorizing something in a way to make fun of it, as in combining camping it up and glamorizing it up.
Boy, you almost got it, because it is about glamour and it is about...
When people pretend like they have been out in the wilderness on a trip to Kenya and they're surrounded by 35 servants and hot baths.
You know something?
There
I'll take it. Yeah, stand
there
forward.
You go.
It's anyone want to help out there on the other side?
We're talking about safaris. It's glamorous camping. It's
is glamorous camping.
Deluxe camping.
Yeah, with hot and cold running maids. Yeah.
Exactly.
I stole that from Arnie. I confess.
Camping is usually when you sit in my living room expecting to be fed. I believe this.
It's another, it's just. Let's go on to round two, which is played with a little musical help from our friends, the Bottom Line Duo. It's the first of the Says You Bluffing rounds. Arnie, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one will have the actual definition. The other will have cards that say, please bluff. Those poor souls have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot, good enough to fool Garland's team. 10 points are up for grabs to Garland if she can find the bluffer, or to you, Arnie, if she can't. A few seconds to come up with a definition for the word... Doob. D-O-O-B. Doob. Folks? Prepare to head west to Seattle to close this season of live performances. We want to take a moment and thank all the folks in Stowe and Bellows Falls, Vermont, Nashville, Tennessee, West Hartford, Connecticut, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Syracuse, New York, and of course all our friends in our hometown of Boston for packing the house coast to coast, laughing and playing along. Our schedule of performances for next season, including stops from New England to California, will be posted shortly on the website at saysyou.net, which, as we all remember, is S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U. And thanks to all the folks who have survived the public humiliation of sending a question to Says You. What about you? Got the nerve? Says You returns after this from home.
Support for Says You in Seattle comes from the Port Townsend Film Institute, informing, educating, and inspiring with independent cinema, and producing the Port Townsend Film Festival this September. Information on the web at ptfilmfest.com. And the Puget Sound Express, sailing from Port Townsend to Seattle, on the web at PugetSoundExpress.com. And many thanks to the Clemente Course for the Humanities, teaching the humanities at a college level to people living in economic distress. On the web at ClementeCourse.org. That's C-L-E-M-E-N-T-E. That is the Bottom Line Duo. Thanks to Spencer and Tracy Hovesklin. Thank you very much, guys, for giving us a little time with the word doob. We will go first to a cautious Carolyn Fay Fox.
Doob comes to us from the world of construction.
Really?
In construction, a doob is any misalignment created by rotted wood framing. As in doob standing for door out of balance.
Got a lot of that in a climate like this.
Misalignment due to inferior wood.
Rotted wood.
Rotted wood. Is doob. This could be it. It could be something else. What say you, Arnold?
Well, I think it's more along the lines of a type of grass. Like you have Kentucky blue, and you have... bamboo, astroturf. And in Bermuda, they have doob.
So the definition would be...
Oh, grass in Bermuda.
Grass in Bermuda. April in Paris, grass in Bermuda.
Grass in Bermuda is called doob.
Doob.
Okay, that's a distinct possibility. Or it could be something else. Paula?
Well, you know, back in the days of James Michael Curley in Boston, you remember they used to have those reformers around, they called them goo-goos. I always thought they should be doobies, you know, but anyway. So I was hoping that's what this was, but no. A doob is an onerous, unpleasant task.
An onerous, unpleasant task is a doob. That could be it. It could be grass in Bermuda, or it could be misalignment due to rotted wood. It's one of those three.
Or meat space.
Or meat space, for that matter. It's one of those three, and the choice, Garland, is yours.
I don't have any idea, although...
Although?
Although. I always have an opinion.
That's a good start.
Yeah,
that's fine.
It feels like it's related to construction. My brothers and my father are builders. It feels familiar. But I don't...
I guess my point would be that if it weren't grass in Bermuda... then it's a far less beautiful world than I'd like it to be.
Okay.
I'd go with the misalignment due to rotted wood.
You would, you? Okay.
Though I suspect it's wrong.
But you'll always have my respect.
I'm the captain.
Yeah, you'll have my respect.
Yeah.
But I think it's grass and Bermuda.
You think it's grass and Bermuda? You think it's a...
I'll go with rotted wood.
Rotted wood. Okay. I feel bad, but I'm going to go with rotted wood.
It's okay, dear.
I think it's misalignment.
Carolyn, they think that doob is misalignment due to rotted wood. Is that in fact what doob is?
Doob, please fake a definition.
Oh. 10 points. For Carolyn's team. All right, audience, your turn. What do you think?
Is it? It is a beautiful world.
How many say Bermuda grass? How many say an onerous task? Well, that says it all there, Paula. This audience is convinced that Dube is an onerous task. Is that what it is?
Please fake a definition.
It is not. Because the definition actually reads
Bermuda grass, man.
Bermuda grass is what it is. Dude. Look at the look on Tony's face. That's a very... Now let's go on to round three. A return bout with the round we call AKA. Although this time, we're going to deal with iconic characters. Please give me another name by which we know the following characters become icons in our culture. An example, and you won't get this, but I love it. If I gave you the name Bibendum, B-I-B-E-N-D-U-M, do you have any idea who Bibendum?
No.
Something to do with drinking.
Yeah.
Take a guess. Bibendum. Yeah.
To be drunk.
Speedy Alka-Seltzer.
Oh, what a great guess, but I believe his name is Speedy Alka-Seltzer. I'm not sure. But that's a great guess.
He may have another name. I mean, these are names of fictional characters?
Yeah. Ma'am, do you know in the front row? It is
the Michelin Man.
Oh, excellent job.
That's his name? He actually has a name.
Boy, those front row seats, I got to tell you. Yeah. That's a... Bibendum is the Michelin Man. So I'm going to give you the names of characters, and you're going to tell me how we really know them, okay?
Whoa. Okay.
Try this one, Carolyn.
All right.
How else do we know Barbara Millicent Roberts?
Betty Crocker.
Oh, what a great guess. Incorrect. But a great guess.
Barbara Millicent Roberts.
Cultural icon. So they're...
Barbara Millicent Roberts?
Yep. Boy, are you going to hate this when you get it.
Barbara Millicent Roberts.
How about just Barbie? Is she Barbie?
Barbie?
Is she Barbie?
Yeah.
Absolutely she's Barbie. That's right. Thank you. I think Paula actually looks distressed that she got that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is this written on the box or on her underwear or where?
I have no idea.
The whole name?
Millicent Roberts is Barbie. I don't know why, I don't know how, but that's what it is.
Her middle name is Millicent.
Yes.
Millicent.
Let this be a lesson to you.
Oh, my.
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, right.
Try this one, Tony.
Mm-hmm.
By what other name might we know Milburn Pennybags?
Is he one of the Smith brothers?
No. Oh, it's a great guess.
Is he the guy on Monopoly?
Yes.
He is absolutely the Monopoly mascot. Boy, you guys are having a day today. How did you ever know that?
It's all the coffee.
It's the coffee. It is the coffee. All right. Try this one, Arnie. By what other name might we know John Reed? R-E-I-D. John Reed.
John Reed. Oh, that's Betty Crocker.
Yeah. No.
It is not.
John Reed. Again, is this something in commerce, or is this a myth?
Well, it's... Kind of a myth, yeah.
Kind of a myth. John Reed.
John Reed.
And it's not Johnny Appleseed, we know.
No.
It is not.
No.
That was Jonathan...
Chapman.
Yeah, that's right. So, John Reed.
A lot
Reed.
Of good that does me. John Reed. Any ideas?
I gave this
Johnny
to you for a reason.
Johnny came home again. John hurrah,
Reed.
Hurrah.
Reed.
I don't know.
J-R.
How about a clue?
J.R.?
J.R.
No, it's not J.R. Oh, that's a good guess, though.
John Reed.
Smokey the Bear.
No. Rocky Raccoon.
I'm giving him points for Smokey the Bear, even though it's completely...
But really, when he takes off his fur...
The clue I will give you is that I gave this to you for a reason.
Oh, well.
So there is something...
That could mean a thousand things when you're talking to Arnie.
He's some minor league baseball player?
No, no. Something in your background that gave
it something in my background
gave you a chance for this.
Is he from Denver?
No, not really. Okay. No? I don't think they're going to get
no,
it.
No, could boy. It?
Any help from that side?
Could it be Tarzan?
Off a radio show, possibly?
Yes.
Oh.
Boston Blackie? No.
No?
No. It was a Western?
It was.
It's not the Range Rider.
Range Rider. No. Rough Rider? No. No.
Not Range Rider.
Bat Masterson?
No.
I can't believe.
Billy the Kid.
Oh. The Lone Ranger.
The Lone Ranger. No, yes, right. Thank you. The Lone Ranger.
That's right. I knew that once.
Okay, audience, how many points do I give them for that effort? What do you think? Well, just the kind of cacophony that cleared that up for me. I don't know. What do you think? 6 points?
And these are nice people, too. Yeah, that's
5 points and a trip to the ER?
5 points. 5 points for that effort.
They've spoken.
All right. Try this one. This is a little bit off the path, but we'll see if we can do it, Garland. Who do we have to thank for Popper and Bun Bun?
Popper and Bun Bun.
P-O-P-P-E-R.
Yeah.
I agree.
Who do we have to thank for Popper, P-O-P-P-E-R, and Bun Bun? B-U-N hyphen B-U-N.
You mean is it like the name of a manufacturer like Kellogg's or something like that?
These are cartoon figures?
In a way, yes.
These are animated figures.
They are, in fact.
Popper and Bun Bun. Disney, is there a...
Popper and Bun Bun. They sound like, does that have anything to do with selling food to a child?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
Popper selling food to a child and from the class that you teach in... Popper television in early childhood?
Well, one of them obviously...
Who would you dislike the most?
Oh, the list is so long.
Are they romantically involved?
Do you know?
No, they're not.
Bun Bun. Pop. Oh, is this? Does this have to do with cereal?
Not cereal, no.
With a sugary treat? A sweet
no,
treat.
Not really, is it?
No.
Well, I wouldn't classify it as a sugary treat.
Did they ever sell chewing tobacco to children?
Kid, have some pop.
Yeah, because that Popper, he was a real...
Yeah,
Popper and Bun Bun. But this is a food treat.
Yes, they got to that. I think I'm going to give them five
points. Weren't they things that you throw in your mouth and they start to carbonate and, you know, like Pop Rocks?
No, not that. I'm going to give them 5 points just for the struggle. I'm going to go the other side. Other side, do you have any thoughts?
It is food.
It is.
Popcorn.
Audience, who do we have to thank for Popper and Bun Bun? That's exactly right. Poppin' and Poppy Fresh, the Doughboy, the Pillsbury Doughboys. These are the Doughboy children.
Who's their mother?
Poppy, P-O-P-P-I-E. Poppy. These are the children of Poppin' and Poppy Fresh. These are the Doughboy children.
Carrying on that whole cannibal theme. That we
That whole theme of just dough it.
Just dough it, yeah.
You know, that was kind of a weak boo. I thought that's why you people came, actually. I thought that's pretty much the... I don't know. All right, Paula, this one is totally unfair, but I'm giving it to you because you talk about your cultural icons. How else might we know Forsyth Pendleton Jones III?
Forsyth Pendleton
Jones III.
The third.
Is this a teddy bear?
It is not.
A blanket?
No. This is a character.
P.J. the third.
Forsyth
Pendleton Jones. I really have no clue, but let's play with this a little bit.
Yeah, just
Does he represent a particular brand of something?
No. I would go about as far away from this name as you possibly can.
I know.
When
I'm
trying
sure
to think
that.
About who it is.
Oh.
I don't know. Tennessee Ernie Ford. I mean, I...
What a great guess. No, that's not it.
Forsyth Pendleton
It's not a real person.
Jones.
No, it's not a real person.
Okay. Not a real person. So...
I want to see if Tony knows who this is.
Oh, is this... not? This is not somebody from Richie Rich or any of... What's one of his pals?
Well, you're getting there.
I am.
Oh, yeah. Oh, good.
Ooh. Daddy Warbucks?
It is not Daddy Warbucks, no. You guys
it's
know
a rich
here?
Kid out of a comic strip?
Is he is he from Richie Rich?
No, he's not from Richie Rich, but...
Is he from, Jughead and...
Archie?
Archie.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Reggie.
Oh, right.
Forsyth Pendleton Jones III is Jughead.
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 That's who that is.
Oh, my God, what a wild guess.
Well, very good.
Good.
And finally, Barry, how might we know Oscar, Zoroaster, Phadrich, Isaac Norman, Henkel Emanuel, Ambrose Diggs?
That's Oscar the Grouch.
It is not. What a great guess. What a great guess.
I thought if I said it with certainty.
Yes.
It always works at home.
Yeah.
Oscar Diggs. Yeah, sweetheart, that's the way that's supposed to look.
Yeah.
Oscar Zorro. I think Zoroaster's got to be a clue to it.
Oscar,
you know?
Zoroaster, Phadrig, Isaac, Norman, Henkel, Emmanuel, Ambrose, Diggs.
Diggs?
Diggs, D-I-G-G-S.
Who's?
You'll love this when you hear it, obviously. There is a clue right in it, though, that
yeah,
I think
you know
should
what?
Help.
Zoroaster.
Oh, ah.
I was thinking.
Is this a sort of serious comic strip character?
It's not a comic strip character, really. It's not a comic strip character.
It's a radio drama?
It might have been, but I don't think so.
Okay.
Not that I remember.
All right, I've done the hard work. Take it,
Tom. Yeah.
Well,
I need you to look at those words and see what occurs to you.
Oscar,
Zoroaster,
Phadrich, Isaac... O-Z-F-I-N. So it spells Ofsnifergardnir. So it's a Swedish.
I don't think I'd spell all of it myself. I really don't.
Ozzy and Harriet.
Oh, no.
Oscar Ozzy.
I can't believe he's... he's almost...
The Wizard of Oz.
The Wizard of Oz. Oh! Yes, sir. What a painful experience that was.
Oh, my gosh.
Oscar, Zoroaster, Phadrich, Isaac, Norman, Henkel, Emmanuel, Ambrose Diggs is the Wizard of Oz. You'll note that the first two names, of course, are O-Z, and the other initials spell Pinhead. Yeah. Did anybody know that? It's true. That's what it is. That's the Wizard of Oz. Oh, points. How many points do I give him for that excruciating experience?
Ten.
Are you kidding?
You're a guest. Don't argue with these people.
At risk of alienating a few people over there, I'm going to give them 3 points for that experience. Okay, 2 points. All right, what do you think? 5 points? 5 points. 5 points. You get 5 points for that. Sheesh. This place have a back door? I'm just curious. Let's go on to round four, which is Garland's team's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following word. Two will bluff 10 points if your team can find the rose among thorns, aren't? Please create a definition for the word... Jark. J-A-R-K. Jark. Yeah. Folks?
Jark.
Says You says thanks to the Fairmont Olympic Hotel, our home away from home in Seattle, and on the web at fairmont.com/Seattle. There are so many ways to enjoy Says You. You can listen here each week, as we hope you do. You can attend a live performance or download any show in our archive. You can contribute a question to the show and achieve limited fame with a small but dedicated audience. And now there's the book, Says Us, Volumes 1 and 2, a tome of games for family and fellow travelers. All this and more at SaysYou.net. SaysYou. Briefly, Says You pauses. Just long enough for a few interstitial announcements. We'll be right back. That was the Bottom Line Duo.
So?
Oh, this is the band.
Yep. Nothing like a little percussive insouciance to get the afternoon going, don't you think?
Your son would like to give 10 points to the band.
I think they deserve it. And this gives us a chance to thank our scorekeepers. Would you please thank Mr. Charles Short and Mr. Benjamin Scher. Thank you guys for keeping the score. Well, we have had a few moments with the word. What is the word? Oh, yeah.
Jark.
We've had a few moments with the word jark. We will go first to Tony Khan.
Well, I think for people who prefer to stand up while replacing a flat tire, this is an implement which flips the car sideways. Tell me, Richard, how often have you wanted to be able to do that?
No more afternoon gigs for you. That's all there is to it.
I think I'll stay with that then. Somehow the truth seems kind of like pale in comparison. But JARC is basically a hidey hole. It's a secret compartment.
What hole?
A secret compartment. A hidey hole.
A secret compartment. What a downer that is.
I know. What can I say?
A secret compartment is a JARC. That could very well be it. Or it could be something else. Garland?
Well, I thought it was the brother of Hark, the herald angel sin. JARC. It's to, JARC means to shift without a sharp movement, to shift easily, to JARC.
To shift easily. Slight movement to the side is just a JARC, just a little JARC. That could be it. Or it could be something else. What say you, Barry?
A JARC is something you would use to help you sell a phony document. It's the seal, a counterfeit seal on a document. For instance, if I were playing you for a sucker and trying to sell you something that I was trying to get a lot of money for, and I put the seal on it, you might be more willing to buy my phony copy of the Magna Carta.
Perhaps even your phony definition.
A seal?
It's a counterfeit seal.
That certificate of authenticity.
Authenticity.
What could be easier to fake than something that's smushed in wax that you can hardly see?
Right, exactly.
It makes you believe it.
Yeah, the counterfeit seal that makes the Magna Carta something that you want to buy. Yeah. That's okay. That could be it. It could be to shift gently and easily, or it can be that secret compartment we heard about so long ago.
Yes.
It is one of those three, and the choice, Arnold, is yours.
Tony's a marriage.
Gang?
I'm liking secret compartment, just because.
Mm-hmm. Just because.
Yep, just because. Wait, what are you looking for, logic here?
Too late for logic.
An explanation?
I don't know. I think either Barry or Tony. I'm surprised nobody came up with a dance.
Do the jark.
Yeah. I was expecting that.
So, born in Babylonia, moved to Arizona.
I don't think it's a shift, gentle shift, because the word is so ungentle. JARC! But Barry, counterfeit seal. Okay, Paula's shaking her head. All right, we're going with Tony.
We are?
Paula's One of us is going with Tony.
No, we are. We are. You are the captain.
I am the captain. We are sinking with Tony. Going down with the ship.
But preserving
Tony,
the marriage.
Right. Preserving the marriage.
Tony, it's a pretty much abandoned ship over there. They're going with you. They say that JARC is a secret compartment. Is that, in fact, what it is?
In spite of my desperate attempt to mislead you, I succeeded. Please bluff.
That is a bluff.
Okay. All right.
That is a bluff. Okay, audience, time to play Says You. What do you think?
All right.
How many say to shift gently? How many say the fake seal?
Okay.
All right. Well, Barry, this audience seems to think that a JARC is a counterfeit seal on a document. Is that, in fact, what it is?
For only 6 easy payments of $19.95, I can sell you this genuine copy of the Magna Carta with its own fake seal on the document.
That's what it is. 10 points.
Okay, you're right. Or kind of right.
For a successful bluff.
Yeah, he was high guard.
Let's close tonight. Nichol Kramer. Of Guilford, Vermont.
Nichol. Yes.
Remember Nichol?
Nicol Kramer checks back in with a round of exchanging letters.
Really wasn't a typo, his name.
For 10 points, please change one letter in the title of a work to get a new title that fits the clues. I'll give you an example. A classic modern poem about a hipster and his kegling cronies is
Bowl.
It would have been
instead of Howl.
It would have been Howl, but you changed one letter, it becomes Bowl. And that's a hipster and his kegling cronies. You get where we're going here?
Yeah, sort of.
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately, yes. Give it a try.
Jowl.
Jowl.
I should have done Jowl.
Let's go through the rest of it.
Cowl.
Cowl. The monk in his... No.
Try this one, Carolyn. A classic children's tale about a Bronte caught up in the rain.
Okay, Charlotte's Wet.
Charlotte's Wet is exactly right. 10 points.
Great.
Oh, I think that's great.
We're on a
great?
Troll. We're on a roll.
A troll.
Tony, try this one. Hemingway's fairy tale about a young girl and her grandfather, neither of whom could get any sleep. Hemingway's fairy tale about a young girl and her grandfather, neither of whom could get any sleep, or neither.
Young Hemingway's tale, young girl can't get any sleep. I was thinking of Old Man and the Sleep, but it's not.
But it's a play on the Old Man and the Sea, and we change one letter.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Old Man and the P.
There you go. Very good. 10 points.
The Old Man and the P.
A combination, of course, of the Old Man and the Sea and the Princess and the Pea, and you get the Old Man.
And the
Pea. Thank you.
Don't go there.
Don't go there.
Yes. Move this right along.
I think we're done here, don't you?
I think
we're done here.
All right.
Arnie, try this one. A 1960s potboiler about Madame Alexander's fusillade.
Well, Madame Alexander, these are the dolls?
It's a doll, yeah. Madame Alexander is a doll.
Oh, fusillade. Valley of the Dolls. And what was
the fusillade?
Yes.
Valley of the Dolls.
Valley of the Dolls.
The Valley of the Dolls. 10 points. Very good. Okay. Try this one, Garland. An alienated, confused teenager finds himself up to his ears in caviar.
Catcher
in the...
Row.
Yeah. Catcher in the row.
What she said.
I'm sorry, what
Catcher
was
in the row, yeah.
Catcher in the row, caviar, row, fish row.
Oh, right.
10 points, yes. Sir.
Okay.
Try this one, Paula. Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s multi-volume literary memoir about his career in NASCAR.
So it's
Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s multi-volume literary memoir about his career in NASCAR.
A racing memoir?
Well, I think we need to think of a multi-volume literary memoir, first of all.
Yes.
And
Proust.
Yes.
Oh.
So it would be.
Remembrance of things past.
Post. Remembrance of things post.
Remember
of things post.
What's wrong with post?
Well, this is NASCAR.
Isn't there a post?
Am I forced to give her 10 points for that?
You're
almost there. Try it again.
Fast?
Yes.
Fast.
Finally, 10 points. Remembrance of things fast is exactly right. That's his...
I was thinking of Racing in the Sun.
Racing in the Sun. That was good.
And finally, Barry, the classic modern play about two newspapermen whose editor just never shows up.
The
Waiting for, and we change one letter in Godot, modern.
What's it?
Writing for Godot. No.
Writing for Godot is exactly right. Yeah. 10 points. I got to tell you, that is a tremendous effort for Garland's team. That is 90 points, and guess what? Not enough. This week's winners with 95 points, Arnie Raisman's team. Congratulations. That's all we have time for this week. Thanks so much to Shirley Bossier and all the folks here at Town Hall Seattle who fix our screw-ups and make it possible to be here. And to Jeff Hansen, Arvid Hawkinson, Katie Mullen, and all the folks at KUOW-FM here in Seattle. That's great. Sharon Salk and are the writers. Luke Kerwald mans the meters this week, and Zach Moore is the associate producer and webmaster. Our closing thought this week, remember Carney Arnott of Edmonds, Washington, challenged us to come up with paraprostokians, those figures of speech in which the latter part of a sentence surprises us. Where there's a will, I want to be in it. That kind of thing. And we got a contribution this week from Rob Needham of Birmingham, Alabama, who quoted the professional golfer who lost a tournament after blowing it on the last hole, "Of all the shots I ever hit, that was 8 of them." Thanks to Rob Needham. Come up with a paraprostokian of your own, and we'll see you all next week.
You can hear Says You Again for free on any of the stations that stream our show. Just follow the High Definitions radio stations link on our website, find a convenient time, and listen again and again. For copies of this show or any other in our history, you can find downloads at saysyou.net. Just follow that show downloads link and find high-quality copies available.
Benjamin, give them the skinny.
Says You. Created and produced by Pippin and Finch. Boston.
This is 90.3 WPLN, Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML, Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS, Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 10 o'clock.
For 30 years, Carl Hiaasen has been writing crime novels about the freaks and scumballs of South Florida. I'll talk to him about his new book, where he once again turns his anger at corruption and environmental evildoers into comedy.
A lot of the funniest writers I know have a deep vein of anger, and they're writing for a reason.